Thousands are expected for Franklin Graham's first ever prayer march on Washington this Saturday. The U.S. imposes new Iran sanctions over human rights violations. A terror probe's opened after two are wounded in a Paris knife attack. And President Trump addresses the 75th session of the United Nations General Assembly. Short but sweet. Welcome to this week's edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio. It happened again, folks. It happened again. I wrap up a Friday show thinking I've hit all the biggest, grandest news from the previous week. Wrap it up around lunchtime. Send it out to you guys for your listening, hopefully pleasure. And rolling off into the weekend, kids' activities, stuff going on. But we all know what happened several hours after. World News Brief was published on Friday afternoon last week. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, ironically, or perhaps providentially, 45 days. Yes, 45. Think of the significance of that number. 45 days before the presidential election, a Supreme Court seat is opened. And it's vacant. I'm not going to be going into that today. However, I'm excited to announce, if you didn't see it already, CGM Radio's very first crosstalk, where we brought together the hosts of two other shows, The Bob Siegel Show, of course, Bob Siegel from that show, and JP from JP's Political Matrix, and myself together to talk about the far-reaching implications of the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It is looking like Trump is going to be announcing the replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg tomorrow at around 5 o'clock, I believe, Eastern time. So I will definitely be tuning in to that. We all know Amy Coney Barrett is the favorite for that position. I'm not going to get into that. Go listen to Tuesday's episode, Crosstalk, with myself, JP, and Bob Siegel. Just go to cgmradio.com to listen. We had a great, great discussion, some great audio, some great news. It is still very, very relevant, even though we published it Tuesday. Highly encourage you to check it out. But what, so I put as the header, usually you wouldn't on a news show put as a header the lead story, something about a prayer march. But I guess I did that, and we're leading off with the, you know, this we're hitting the headlines just to give you guys a bit of a roadmap. We're hitting the headlines, and then we're going to do a quick video of President Trump at the United Nations General Assembly. It is audio you will not want to miss. Literally a 7-minute speech to the UN General Assembly, and let me tell you something, this man is bringing speaking truth to power, specifically China, and it is a beautiful thing to watch, and it is an incredible thing to see true leadership on the world stage. He is a brave man. Look, and there are attempts on his life. This lunatic sent him, tried to send him mail with dangerous chemicals inside of it. This dangerous ricin, I believe it's a powder of some type. So, I mean, he has threats on his lives, and that's just the one we know about. Who knows how many others have been fooled that we don't know about. So we need to be praying for our president, but we also need to be praying for our nation. Thousands expected for Franklin Graham's first ever prayer march on Washington. This is from Daily Caller, actually published on WND WorldNet Daily. Thousands of people are expected to convene in Washington, D.C. Saturday for Franklin Graham's inaugural prayer march, which of course happens to coincide with the announcement of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's replacement, according to organizers. Tens of thousands have expressed interest in the prayer march. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association told the Daily Caller News Foundation Wednesday. Franklin Graham, son of the American evangelist preacher Billy Graham, announced on Twitter his spearheading of the prayer march on August 8, calling it a necessary event for a nation, quote, in trouble. Let's listen in to what Franklin Graham had to say.
I'm in Washington, D.C. today, 26th of September. Mark that date, 26th of September. I'm asking you to come and join me right here on the Mall, Washington, D.C. for the Prayer March 2020. We're going to pray for this nation. Our only hope for this country is God. I hope that you'll join me.
Amen.
Right here on the 26th of September, noon, okay?
Tomorrow.
And we're going to march from one end of this mall to the other. Take us about 2 hours, but we're going to march and we're going to pray as we go along the way. God bless you. I'll see you here on the Mall. The 26th of September, noon, right here. Lincoln Memorial.
Lincoln Memorial. If there's a president that embodies and is a figurehead for freedom and for righteousness, it's President Abraham Lincoln, of course, an imperfect man, but right in front of the Lincoln Memorial is a great place to start. Look, this is from a U.S. News. So, when we hit the headlines, I do America first. We start with America first. One other thing. There's a million things. I mean, there's a million things. Look, I get it. There's the stuff in Louisville, the protests and the rioting. There's the Breonna Taylor mess. There is the incredible apparent voter fraud going on in North Carolina, where you have the lieutenant governor of North Carolina requesting that AG Barr come and investigate because of the rampant corruption that's going on down there. And it's only going to get crazier. I mean, if 2020 couldn't get any more insane, now we have a Supreme Court vacancy. It's absolutely unbelievable. And by the way, we must fill that seat, because this election could come down to the Supreme Court, and we've got to have it's been a 5-4. It hasn't been a 5-4 conservative court. It has not. That is a lie. John Roberts is most of the time on the side of the left. So, no, I don't think so. So we absolutely have to have this seat if there's going to be any fairness in the election at all. But that being said, with so many things going on, more rioting and just the unrest in our nation, the insanity of people over the Supreme Court seat, I'm sure you've seen the videos. It's remarkable. It's one thing for people to have total meltdowns and freak out like they do over this seat. It's quite a different thing when they video themselves and they upload it to TikTok. Come on. Anyway, I guess people just enjoy embarrassing themselves. I don't know. But this nation needs God. We do. And something like this prayer march, and I hope they happen all over the country. I hear that they're happening even in Puerto Rico. Franklin Graham is encouraging us to create our own and to do our own. If we can't make it to D.C., boy, I wish I could be there for the prayer march. Boy, do I wish I could be there for that tomorrow, but it is what it is. If you're in the area, I highly recommend you go in. I'm sure it will be an experience. And it's not just about the experience, of course. It's important. We as a nation, I mean, we need him. We need him. The only way we survive is through his grace. So I wanted to share that. Make sure you guys are aware of that, to be praying for that event. If you can go. Maybe someone is organizing something in your area. All right. FBI foils South Carolina man's, quote, Netflix-worthy terror attack on U.S. soil in the name of ISIS. There's the invisible enemy, COVID. There is the very visible enemy as well, and that is Islamic terrorism. This is from thejeffreylord.com. The FBI has foiled plans of a South Carolina man to conduct terrorist attacks on American soil on behalf of ISIS. In a federal affidavit, details show Christopher Sean Matthews, who went by the alias Ali Jibril, conspired with ISIS members and supporters for months, planning how to carry out the attacks. This is why our intelligence communities have got to be vigilant. And that's why the Obama administration's complete scrubbing of anything having to do with Islam in the education of our intelligence agencies is criminal. It's criminal and it's deadly. Look, I get it. Just because someone is a Muslim doesn't mean they want to blow people up. Some Muslims are very patriotic. But you can't disintegrate. You can't get rid of, you can't not train your intelligence professionals in the ideology and the motivation of those who want to destroy us. Why would we do that? Unless we had just a death wish, or unless you're on their side, or at best you're just so obsessed with political correctness that you can't handle it. You can't fathom it. You can't make. You're either an anti-Muslim bigot, right, or you're just pro-Muslim. We can't say anything negative about Islam ever. I think there might be a third and fourth option in the middle there, just a little bit, right? The devil doesn't like to give us very good choices, this extreme or that extreme, and it doesn't have to be like that. Matthews, along with co-conspirator from Texas named Jalen Christopher Molina, both remain in custody, accused of, quote, conspiring to provide material support or resources to a designated foreign terrorist organization, documents show. The state reported on the affidavit, writing, quote, the FBI used online covert employees and confidential sources to track Matthew and Molina. One FBI investigator recounted conversations between the men and other ISIS supporters in a secretive online chat group, quote, wherein they profess their loyalty to ISIS, their hate for the United States and Western nations, and their desire to support the extremist terrorist group however they can. All right, so this is the this is what they say. They say we need to stick together. We need to defeat them. We need to take a lot of casualties, said Molina under his alias Abdurrahim. And also, it looks like they wanted to hit places like malls where innocent children are. Alleged targets included New York's Trump Tower and the stock exchange. So, I understand the intelligence agencies, given the coup attempt against the current president of the United States, kind of have gotten a bad rap. And they've earned it. At least the leadership has. But the rank and file who are out there every day working to keep America safe, what percentage of those in the FBI and CIA exist? I don't know. I don't know the percentages of the good guys versus the bad guys in the intelligence agencies. I don't know. But when I see things like this, it gives me hope. It gives me great hope that there are a lot of patriots and true law enforcement officers in the intelligence agencies that actually care about our country and actually care about doing their jobs correctly and not as political lapdogs for either party. The men exchanged info about guns and guides on homemade bomb making, as well as how many men would be needed to set traps and place bombs. The affidavit mentioned Matthews and Molina's various discussions about traveling to Syria to join ISIS. And here's where we'll end off. They believed if they were successful in their attack, it could mean rock star status, baby, and hoped, quote, this could be Netflix worthy. That, so much about Netflix. By the way, if you haven't canceled your Netflix subscription, I highly, highly encourage you to do so, given their latest publishing of child pornography. So that is it. That's all I'm going to go into in that. But look, these were Americans with American-sounding names that they just simply had aliases. Terrorism really knows no skin color, right? But the greatest source of terrorism does have an ideological and religious basic, and that is Islamic terrorism. So this is a threat. It remains a threat. I'm extremely grateful that the FBI took care of this, and we'll see what develops. But the full force of the law needs to be used against these men. They need to be made an example of, and you know, to the extent that the law allows, because this kind of stuff cannot, and it must be continued to be rooted out. So, speaking of terrorism, speaking of human rights abuses, U.S. imposes new Iran sanctions over human rights violations. So, as you are aware, what we've talked about is that the U.S. is now in the process of a snapback of all sanctions against the Iranian regime that were there before the 2015 nuclear deal when President Obama was trying to give Iran $150 billion and a path to a nuclear weapon, all in the name of stopping them from getting a nuclear weapon. All those sanctions, the U.S. is attempting to put back, and they are just going further and further and further. They announced it this past weekend that they were doing that, and so now they're in the process of doing that. This is from Reuters. The U.S. on Thursday blacklisted several Iranian officials and entities over alleged gross violations of human rights, including slapping sanctions on a judge it said was involved in the case of an Iranian wrestler sentenced to death. If you remember that guy, this Iranian wrestler sentenced to death. I hope all pro sports completely and totally pull out of Iran. The Olympic Committee should kick Iran out. We should have nothing to do. They need to be isolated. And the full weight of the opprobrium of the world needs to just come crashing down on them. Now is the time to act and 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 not let up until that regime falls and freedom can come back to Iran. Something Marco Rubio said in some kind of telecast from this previous week was that it's very easy when we think about Iran to think about all of the terrible atrocities, the sponsorship of terrorism and so forth, and just how they treat their own people, while at the same time forgetting about the Iranian people themselves don't actually want this. They don't want this. And I think when they have the opportunity for freedom, I see them taking that opportunity. And it's going to be a beautiful day. Look, the world is changing, you know, to quote the very first Lord of the Rings movie. You know, there was actually something there, because that came out right before, I believe that came out in 99 or 2000, right before the world did change. With 9/11, the world did. It's bizarre how sometimes movies can seem to, seems like they can predict things, I should say, that escape a lot of us. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in a statement said the U.S. imposed sanctions on Judge Sayed Mahmoud Sadati, another Judge Soltani, branch one of the Revolutionary Court of Shiraz, and Adel Abad, Arumeya, and Vakilabad prisons. U.S. Special Representative for Iran and Venezuela, Elliot Abrams, said the sanctions targeted a judge who sentenced Iranian wrestler Navid Afkari to death. Pompeo said Sadati, a judge of branch one of the Shiraz Revolutionary Court, reportedly oversaw one of Afkari's trials. Quote, "The U.S. is committed to holding accountable those who deny freedom and justice to people of Iran, and later today the United States will announce sanctions on several Iranian officials and entities, including the judge who sentenced Navid Afkari to death." The wrestler was executed earlier this month after being convicted for the fatal stabbing of a security guard during anti-government protests in 2018. So I think Navid Afkari is a bit of a figurehead for the mega problems and the kangaroo courts that are going on in Iran, that they're essentially just the puppets of the Ayatollahs to get done what they want done. I guess if they wanted to draw the ire of the freedom-loving world community, they were successful. I want to read a bit from the this is for the State Department press statement from yesterday. Today, the United States sanctioned several Iranian officials and entities for gross violations of human rights pursuant to Section 106 of the Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act of 2017. Boy, those things are always a mouthful. CATSA, C-A-A-T-S-A, Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act of 2017. I determine that Judge Sadati, Judge Sultani, Branch 1 of the Revolutionary Court of Shiraz, and Abdullah Arumeya and Vakilabad prisons were responsible for certain gross violations of human rights. This includes prior incidents of torture or cruel, inhuman or degrading treatment or punishment, arbitrary detentions, and denials of the right to liberty of those seeking only to practice their faith, peacefully assemble, or to express themselves. All of this will be linked at cgmradio.com if you want to read the full statement. If you want to, all the links to all these articles will be up there at cgmradio.com. So this is good news. We are continuing to put the pressure with the Maximum Pressure campaign on Iran. They are the largest state sponsor of terror in the world. They're a menace to the world. They are the chief adversary of our greatest ally in the Middle East, and perhaps you could argue in the world to some extent. And they are partners with the greatest threat to the entire world, which is China. And they're also partners with Russia, which is, of course, just a threat to freedom and liberty around the world as well. So this is good. So far, so good. We'll continue to monitor this to see what will happen. I do believe the Iranian regime will fall. I don't know when, but as these snapback sanctions come into place and as actually peace comes through the world, like it's coming to the Middle East, and as the world is changing for the good because of Trump's leadership, especially when it comes to standing up to China, which we're going to hear from him in just a second on that, I think it's really great news to see how things are unfolding. Terror probe opened after two wounded in Paris knife attack. This is just breaking, ladies and gentlemen. This is from the AP. French terrorism authorities are investigating a knife attack that wounded at least two people Friday near the former offices of the satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo in Paris, authorities said. A suspect has been arrested. So if you remember the Charlie Hebdo massacre, it was this publishing group. They published cartoons making fun of everybody. You remember that makes fun of everybody, whether it's Christianity or Islam or anywhere in between. They were big, big, big freedom of speech supporters. Of course, terrorists broke in several years ago. I believe it was 2012 and killed around 12 people. One of the founders of Charlie Hebdo, eerily just before that, if you remember, had said, I don't want to live in a world. Where there is no freedom of speech and no freedom of expression. And sadly, he experienced what a world without that is like, very, very sadly. The area in eastern Paris remained cordoned off by police 2 hours after the attack. Children were being sequestered in 9 schools while police worked to determine no other suspects were on the run, according to education and police officials. I have not even read this, looked over this story yet. Usually I try to do that before coming on air, but I saw this just before I started recording. I'm like, well, I'll learn about it along with the audience. It is unclear what motivated the attack or whether it was linked to Charlie Hebdo, which moved after its offices were targeted in a 2015 Islamic extremist attack that left 12 people dead. Let's see if there's anything else interesting in here. An investigation was opened into, quote, attempted murder in relation with the terrorist enterprise, according to an official at the prosecutor's office. Authorities did not release the identity of the suspect arrested in the area of the Bastille Plaza. Let's see, we have a witness here that said, I saw a guy that was in his 30s or 40s with an axe in his hand who was walking behind a victim covered in blood. I can't tell you how many victims there was. I just saw one, witness Kadir Alpha told the AP at the scene. So they're hiding the identity of this guy, and in an ultra-politically correct world, it would be because perhaps he's Arab, perhaps not. I don't know if he was a pasty white dude. Would they be showing the picture? I don't know, but this is not the first time this kind of stuff has happened. That being said, I'm not a big fan of broadcasting the pictures of these people and giving them world notoriety, kind of either way. They need to be locked up and forgotten about other than believers praying for their salvation. AP reporters saw officers flooding into the neighborhood near the Richard Lenore subway station. The two people confirmed injured worked for documentary film company Primeres Lignes, L-I-G-N-E-S, not sure how to pronounce that, according to founder Paul Morera. He told BFM Television that the attacker fled into the subway and the company's staff members were evacuated. And this is the last thing I'll say on this. Morera said a man in the street, quote, attacked two people who were in front of the building, didn't enter the building, and who attacked them with an axe and who left. He said the company had not received any threats. I don't know why they talk about a knife attack in the beginning of the story, and then the witnesses talk about seeing someone with an axe. Truly, it's weird. I don't get it. This will be linked up at cgmradio.com as well if you want to see more of it. Pray for France. Not sure what how things are going to unfold, but at least they have the man in custody, and we will see what happens. All right, I want to end off. This is going to be the quote of the week. Look, it's a 7-minute video, but I did a shorter show, so I highly encourage you, please listen to the whole thing. I don't know. I might stop and comment a little bit here and there. Look, 7 minutes. Truth, speaking truth to power at the UN. He did it last year. So in this situation, in this COVID insanity scamdemic scenario, President Trump is literally, this was a pre-recorded message recorded in the White House. I forget the name of this room, but there's a big picture of George Washington behind him. This video will be linked at cgmradio.com as well. It's 7 minutes. It's short and sweet, and it shows once again that we have a leader, a true leader on the world stage in the White House, whereas Joe Biden apparently has to stop his day at noon every day, either because he's too tired or he's not mentally capable of functioning beyond 10, 11, 12 o'clock. We have a leader in Trump that is getting stuff done, and he is changing the world for good. If Barack Obama had done anything close to what President Trump is doing, he would have gotten 8,000 Nobel Prizes. They would have been inventing prizes for Barack Hussein Obama.
It is my profound honor to address the United Nations General Assembly 75 years after the end of World War II and the founding of the United Nations. We are once again engaged in a great global struggle. We have waged a fierce battle against the invisible enemy, the China virus, which has claimed countless lives in 188 countries. In the United States, we launched the most aggressive mobilization since the Second World War. We rapidly produced a record supply of ventilators, creating a surplus that allowed us to share them with friends and partners all around the globe. We pioneered life-saving treatments, reducing our fatality rate 85% since April. Thanks to our efforts, 3 vaccines are in the final stage of clinical trials. We are mass-producing them in advance so they can be delivered immediately upon arrival.
I don't know about you, but I ain't touching that vaccine. I understand why Trump is doing it, but this was a vaccine very quickly made. And look, we should have choice. We should have choice on vaccine, right? We're pro-choice, right? choice on vaccine. That being said, I'm not going to count Trump and the medical professionals out. Perhaps it is safe, but when it comes to my health and our family's health, don't be ashamed. Do not be ashamed if you choose not to take the vaccine. But there's much, much more important stuff in this speech.
We will distribute a vaccine. We will defeat the virus. We will end the pandemic. And we will enter a new era of unprecedented prosperity, cooperation, and peace.
I believe that.
As we pursue this bright future, we must hold accountable the nation which unleashed this plague onto the world, China.
Uh-oh.
In the earliest days of
the
virus, China locked down travel domestically while allowing flights to leave China and infect the world. China condemned my travel ban on their country, even as they canceled domestic flights and locked citizens in their homes.
Wow.
The Chinese government and the World Health Organization, which is virtually controlled by China, falsely declared that there was no evidence of human-to-human transmission. Later, they falsely said people without symptoms would not spread the disease. The United Nations must hold China accountable for their actions. In addition, every year, China dumps millions and millions of tons of plastic and trash into the oceans, overfishes other countries' waters, destroys vast swaths of coral reef, and emits more toxic mercury into the atmosphere than any country anywhere in the world. China's carbon emissions are nearly twice what the U.S. has, and it's rising fast. By contrast, after I withdrew from the one-sided Paris Climate Accord, last year America reduced its carbon emissions by more than any country in the agreement. Those who attack America's exceptional environmental record while ignoring China's rampant pollution are not interested in the environment. They only want to punish America, and I will not stand for it. If the United Nations is to be an effective organization, it must focus on the real problems of the world. This includes terrorism, the oppression of women, forced labor, drug trafficking, human and sex trafficking, religious persecution, and the ethnic cleansing of religious minorities.
Really should kind of go without saying, right? That's the kind of stuff that the UN should be focused on doing. But let's remember, they like to spend most of their time creating resolutions against the really only truly free country in the Middle East, Israel.
America will always be a leader in human rights. My administration is advancing religious liberty, opportunity for women, the decriminalization of homosexuality, combating human trafficking, and protecting unborn children. We also know that American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world. In 3 short years, we built the greatest economy in history, and we are quickly doing it again. Our military has increased substantially in size. We spent $2.5 trillion over the last 4 years on our military. We have the most powerful military anywhere in the world, and it's not even close. We stood up to decades of China's trade abuses. We revitalized the NATO alliance, where other countries are now paying a much more fair share. We forged historic partnerships with Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador to stop human smuggling. We are standing with the people of Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela in their righteous struggle for freedom. We withdrew from the terrible Iran nuclear deal and imposed crippling sanctions on the world's leading state sponsor of terror. We obliterated the ISIS caliphate 100%, killed its founder and leader, al-Baghdadi, and eliminated the world's top terrorist, Qasem Soleimani. This month, we achieved a peace deal between Serbia and Kosovo. We reached a landmark breakthrough with 2 peace deals in the Middle East after decades of no progress. Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain all signed a historic peace agreement in the White House with many other Middle Eastern countries to come. They are coming fast, and they know it's great for them and it's great for the world. These groundbreaking peace deals are the dawn of the new Middle East. By taking a different approach, we have achieved different outcomes, far superior outcomes. We took an approach, and the approach worked.
Yeah,
we
common
intend
sense.
To deliver more peace agreements shortly, and I have never been more optimistic for the future of the region. There is no blood in the sand. Those days are hopefully over. As we speak, the United States is also working to end the war in Afghanistan, and we are bringing our troops home.
Amen.
America is fulfilling our destiny as peacemaker, but it is peace through strength.
Yes.
We are stronger now than ever before. Our weapons are at an advanced level like we've never had before, like, frankly, we've never even thought of having before. And I only pray to God that we never have to use them. For decades, the same tired voices proposed the same failed solutions, pursuing global ambitions at the expense of their own people. But only when you take care of your own citizens will you find a true basis for cooperation. As president, I have rejected the failed approaches of the past, and I am proudly putting America first, just as you should be putting your countries first. That's okay. That's what you should be doing. I am supremely confident that next year, when we gather in person, we will be in the midst of one of the greatest years in our history, and frankly, hopefully, in the history of the world. Thank you. God bless you all. God bless America. And God bless the United Nations.
Well, we certainly want God to bless the United Nations and to transform it and to change it into something that is a worthwhile body. You know, as he was talking, I've had this piece here. It's from April 20th. He spoke so much about China and how the UN actually needs to hold China accountable. But what's interesting is that on April 2nd, the UN Human Rights Council appointed China to a panel that selects investigators to take on some of the world's key human rights challenges, from freedom of speech to arbitrary detention, can anyone say Uyghur Muslims and other religious minorities, to basic food security. I'll have that piece linked up at cgmradio.com. It's an old piece, but as he was talking, I looked over and I saw that piece, and I'm like, wow, how relevant is that? That a country like China would be on the UN Human Rights Council, and it's essentially immune, really, from any blowback from the UN, it seems. But you know what? The world is changing. Because we have a president, and I believe that God is at his back and at his front, that is engaged in changing that world. All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio. Thank you for joining us. Make sure to give me a follow on Twitter and Parler at World News CGM. Send me an email, world@cgmradio.com. Questions, comments, anything else you would like, I'd love to interact with you there. And of course, everything that we've talked about today will be up, is up right now at cgmradio.com if you would like to dig deeper. And of course, may his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have an incredible weekend. We'll see you next week. And don't forget, Bob Siegel Show, JP's Political Matrix, and other great CGM shows right here at cgmradio.com.